two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dejanovic.
We now know that the 16 Americans fell into a kidnap for ransom trap. That is business as usual in nations with weak governments like what is happening in Haiti. And Dave, you're looking at the State Department warning right now about travel to Haiti, and it is dire. What does it say?
Do not travel to Haiti due to kidnapping, crime, civil unrest, and COVID-19.
It's a simple search, too.
Oh, yeah.
You go to the State Department database, and they'll tell you, you know, you enter what country you're going to, and they'll tell you if it's safe to travel there. But if it's in a red, if it's big red banner across the top, it says do not travel, they mean it. This is typical in countries with weak government. And we know that Haiti's president was assassinated this summer in his own chambers.
Yeah.
And there has been lawlessness on the streets of Haiti, and this gang of thugs kidnapped these 16 Americans. Did you hear what the price tag was on each one of their heads when it comes to releasing them?
A big round number.
$1 million each. So I want to talk to you, Dave, about how this will go down in Haiti from my point of view. How the FBI is involved, but maybe kind of taking a back seat to the people who are actually on the front lines of this negotiating. And it'll shock you.
In about 5 minutes, we're going to bring on Representative Chris Stewart. And Debbie, I want to know what we're going to do about this. You don't just get to kidnap 16 Americans that come to your country without any kind of reprisal.
On a mission.
On a mission. You know, missionaries. 16 American missionaries, not missionaries from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. At least around here, that's kind of where our mind goes. But these were families that were visiting an orphanage, and they got nabbed. And now they're being ransomed for $1 million.
So now what? Now what happens? They're kidnapped. The gang has the upper hand. So the calls come into the ministry on Saturday, Dave. They're kidnapped over the weekend, and immediately the kidnappers start making calls to the ministry. Not to the FBI. They start listing their ransom demands to the person on the other end of the phone. Now, the FBI hostage negotiators have since gotten involved in this case. This ministry needs support. They've probably never had to negotiate the, you know, release of a loved one for a ransom. And this isn't just these people. This happens a lot in foreign countries. And this isn't a kidnapping for ransom at American taxpayer expense, mind you. Your loved one goes over and gets kidnapped in a foreign country. It's the families. It may be, in this case, the ministry, but oftentimes it's the families who have to pony up the cash.
This doesn't make any sense to me because I thought we didn't negotiate with terrorists.
I would say that the FBI's role would be more in support. As we're seeing widespread reporting about FBI involvement in this, Dave, it would be more in support of assisting the ministry or the families in what they want to do. But I would imagine that the FBI is saying, like, we don't advocate you pay ransom, because doesn't that set a horrible precedent?
Yes.
But let's get beyond that, because these families, Dave, are having to take from their 401ks. And I'm not just talking necessarily about this case. But skim equity from their homes.
Oh, yeah.
Sell property. I mean, you're cobbling together any amount of money you can to get your loved one back to you. And this is emotional, Dave.
Oh, well, of course.
You're going to pay any price, right?
It does. This is what they know, too. They know that you'll drain a 401k and you'll take out another loan, or you'll sell your house, you'll raise money, you'll go fund me, you'll do whatever it takes to get that child back, or your parent, whatever it might be.
There are five children kidnapped.
That are in, yes.
There are men and women that are part of this kidnapping for ransom in Haiti. And we're diving into this right now, and in 10 minutes, Representative Chris Stewart calling the show. And Dave has a very important question to ask. Why don't you just send in the military?
I want to know.
Why are we horsing around with negotiating ransoms with bad guys?
Well, imagine if this is a gang. This isn't conventional terrorism. So imagine if these 16 missionaries were in Afghanistan and they were kidnapped, what would our response be? It would be a military response. Why wouldn't that be the case in Haiti? This failed government, this failed state that is completely dangerous. Why wouldn't we send in the American military?
And families have no idea what they're in for when these phone calls start coming in. So there's actually books written about this. And I found one that's called Kidnap Inside the Ransom Business. And they go into details about, you know, these ransom kidnappings. These gangs mean business. And so they set the dollar amount, the price tag for each American kidnapped in Haiti is $1 million. So the first rule of thumb is the kidnappers want to get the maximum amount and not get caught. But don't budge at $1 million. When you run at them with $1 million, they're going to ask for more, and your loved one's not going to be free. What you do is you hold out for a cheaper price. And some of these can get much, much lower, you know, $50,000, $100,000. But still, for a family that's living paycheck to paycheck, who has $100,000? But that's a lot better than trying to come up with $1 million. And remember when yesterday when we were talking about this with ABC News crime and terrorism analyst Brad Garrett, I said, my hope is that it is a kidnapping for ransom. Why? Because you think of so many more evil things that could be happening. At least you know, or at least you suspect and you hope that they're still alive and they're willing to negotiate a price that's, you know, reasonable for a family or the ministry.
It is interesting that the government won't take, they won't pay any ransom, that they don't play a role in this.
I don't know of a taxpayer fund that this money would come out of.
Yeah. I can kind of see why, but at the same time, you think, listen, a government entity or a gang or something, whoever it might be, somebody kidnapped an American, shouldn't America be responsible for that person?
I think you have a misconception of how often this happens. It's happened in Mexico and it's happened in other countries. And if we were paying money every time a foreign tourist or an American tourist went to a foreign country, how much money? How much money are we going to assign to that pot of money?
Your job as a government is to protect Americans. This seems like the very definition of protecting Americans.
So let's ask Representative Chris Stewart when he calls the show next.
Dave and Dejanovic.
HostageUS.org says on average 200 to 300 Americans are kidnapped in foreign lands every single year. And right now, it is a race against time. We've got five men, seven women, five children, all Americans. I believe there's one from Canada who have a price tag on their head in Haiti, $1 million each for their freedom.
And who's going to pay that? Is it going to be the families? Does the government step in? Do they help? Because I guess in my mind, I thought, listen, if an American gets kidnapped in foreign land, they're going to help us out, right? The government's going to step in and rescue us.
And these were missionaries from a church that's based in Ohio, and they were kidnapped while visiting an orphanage there. Let's bring in Representative Chris Stewart. Good morning, Representative.
Good morning. Good to be with you. And it's unfortunately, I have to talk about such a delicate and such a dangerous situation as we are.
Well, we don't want to give up any secrets. As we know, there's some diligent work going on behind the scenes to free these hostages. But what happens if these kidnappers won't accept a reduced price? Because that's usually what ends up happening in these. Do we end up sending in the military? I mean, what is normally the course of action, Representative?
Well, I mean, history shows that generally there's a negotiating process. It takes time. I mean, it can take upwards of several months in some cases in Haiti, and that's kind of typical in some of the other situations we've seen around the world. And often they don't involve U.S. officials because U.S. officials aren't notified. I mean, many times the victims and their families don't even tell the local police until, in some cases, after the fact, and they negotiate and end up paying for it. But this situation is far more dramatic than that, and it's far more brazen, and it's not one we're going to be able to ignore, and it's certainly not going to be negotiated in private. But one thing that we have to do, and this may be the opportunity where we're compelled to do that, and that is we've got to position America's interests around the world to where citizens, wherever they are, whether they're in Haiti or South America or Central America or other places in Asia or Europe even, we can't make them targets of this type of behavior. You can't make them so that they can be viewed as a source of cash and revenue for some of these gangs and some of the organized international crime units that we're familiar with. So, look, we pray and we hope, and it's, as I said, a very delicate situation to negotiate their release. I don't think they should pay ransom. That should always be our policy. It endangers everyone else if we do. And then we've got to strengthen and reinforce the idea that the American government is going to do what's necessary to protect and to bring home American citizens in situations like this.
I'll be honest, Representative Stewart, I think if an American is kidnapped, I want to go full Captain Phillips. I want to send in the Navy SEALs and whatever it takes to get Americans home, because the very essence, in my opinion, of government is to protect American citizens. And if they are out traveling and vacationing, we obviously, individuals do not have the strength or the funds to be able to get out of these hostage situations. It's just too expensive. Where does the government play? What role does the government play?
Well, and I want you to know, I agree with you. That we should bring every tool that the U.S. government that may be necessary, including, if necessary, the U.S. military. We have to have that at least as an option. Of course, the thing you have to be careful of is you can't endanger the hostages in doing that. And if you can rescue them and do it in a way that you think is more towards their safety than you would be endangering them, you have to make that decision. But it doesn't do any good to rescue hostages if they've been killed in the rescue or killed by their captors because of the rescue. So, again, a very delicate negotiation that takes place. But more broadly to your point, my family and I used to spend an awful lot of time in Mexico, for example. And we always felt kind of safe there because we thought what you indicated, hey, we're American citizens. The people around us who maybe, have bad intentions are going to look at us and say, don't bother them. They're Americans. The U.S. government will protect them. And we can't lose that. And in fact, for sure, we can't go to where not only do they view us as U.S. citizens as being protected, we can't allow them to be viewed as U.S. citizens as being prime targets because they come from a wealthy nation, a wealthy family, perhaps, and the U.S. government won't protect them. And I'm afraid we're seeing kind of an extension of what we witnessed this summer in Afghanistan, where the government just didn't protect U.S. citizens the way that they should have, tragically. And I hope that people and other of these gangs around the world aren't looking at that as a model and saying, well, the U.S. government probably isn't going to protect them, so maybe this is a good time to take U.S. citizens. That would be a tragic outcome.
Representative Chris Stewart on the line with us live right now, talking about this rapidly unfolding situation in Haiti where 16 Americans have been held hostage, taken hostage by a group of thugs, demanding $1 million per American for their release. Representative Stewart, I've been very familiar with the State Department's website, and it has a red banner across the top when it comes to Haiti, and it warns, don't travel there. Don't go there. There are kidnappings. In fact, they're very explicit that these kidnappers have been known to follow Americans from the airports there in Haiti and, lay in wait for the perfect time to take them hostage. is that not enough of a warning? And obviously we're in the situation we're in right now, but for future travel for other Americans, should they not be heeding those warnings and taking them more seriously?
Well, I mean, obviously in this case, perhaps they should have, but it's also a couple things that I think are fair and important to point out. Number one is those kind of warnings. Haiti's not the only country in the world that had those warnings.
Correct.
They're pervasive through many places, including most of Mexico, most of Central and South America. But the reality is Americans have a reason to be there. I mean, these people were there to help eliminate some of the suffering from the recent earthquake. I mean, so the option is we withdraw from all of these places, and I don't think that's a good option. Now, look, I don't think anyone should have been going to Haiti for a vacation. But on the other hand, we have U.S. interests, and we have, you know, some of these other efforts where we're trying to help people. Do we want to not do any of that? So it's a delicate balance, but the warnings are there for a purpose. But on the other hand, if we had heeded every warning, then there'd be large parts of the world that we just don't go, and I just don't think that's practical either.
The FBI typically takes lead on these kind of foreign kidnappings, right?
Yes.
Why do we not involve the U.S. military?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of reasons. Number one is what we already talked about, and the military is the blunt force instrument, and they're not trained in hostage negotiation and some of these more delicate skills. They're there to, in order to bring weapons to bear, and hopefully we don't have to, it doesn't come to that. Now, again, I agree with you that if that's necessary and if there is no other hope of recovering some of these hostages, the military is certainly a viable option and one we should and I think do consider. But you have the FBI hostage negotiation team. Again, they can deploy very quickly. They're trained for this. They're experienced in this. I think I have no problem with the FBI being lead on this, but I'm concerned and uncomfortable with the idea that all they do is go and negotiate a lower price and call that a victory and bring them home. We endanger everyone when you do that. It sets a terrible precedent, and we reward the very thugs, to use your word, that we're trying to diminish their power, not enhance it. Imagine if we gave them $17 million. Do you know what they would do with that? They would buy drugs, they would buy guns, and they would expand their power and lead to more and more. 300% increase in hostage taking and kidnapping in Port-au-Prince in the last couple of months. And they're doing that because it works, and we can't allow it to work anymore.
Representative Chris Stewart, thank you so much for calling us. And it was so nice to hear that, Debbie. I couldn't agree with him more. There has to be a message sent. There has to be this understanding that if you take Americans, it's not a payday for you.
Straight ahead, Maria Chaleos. Top story, of course, is possibly the weather that's happening right now, and more information on that major drop in enrollment in the Salt Lake City School District.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.